Chapter 12. No Animal Testing. Bernie mentioned that we would soon have visitors. ShopCorp, our largest customer, wanted to come in and conduct its own inspection. The visit would help secure more orders, Bernie explained, but he had concerns that the customer might learn too much. Bernie had claimed that Johnson Carter was a joint venture partner in the factory, and it was precisely during an actual visit to the plant that this fiction might come to light. When I explained to Sister that Bernie wanted the information of ownership to be kept secret, she said that she could do one better. She offered to have a sign made and hung on the front of the factory that listed Johnson Carter as an actual owner. It was common practice in South China for manufacturers to do whatever was necessary to lock in a major piece of business. Claiming that someone was a partner was seen as only a small fudge, and at some factories in the region, you could find 3, 4, or even 5 names on a board near the entrance of the company. Manufacturers would say that these were the names of their business partners, or sometimes they indicated them as brands. Most would reply when asked that they were nothing. When the executive from ShopCorp, Donald, arrived at the factory and saw the plaque that had both Johnson Carter's and King Chemical's names on it, he was satisfied. It proved that the two companies were, indeed, joint venture partners. For the first time in many months, I went through the routine of putting on a white lab coat and hat for our visiting guests. We gave the visiting executive the same kind of tour that I had been given when I first arrived at King Chemical. The questions that Donald asked were no better than the questions I asked on my very first tour of the factory. He was concerned about conditions of the workers, as many visiting Americans are. "How many days off did they get?" he asked. Sister gave the standard Chinese answer. 2 days, she said. 2 days is pretty good, he said. Donald didn't realize that she meant 2 days per month. The workers typically took off 1 day every other week. When told this, he was struck dumb, unable to imagine it, and all he could say was, "Oh my." Worker conditions concerned many foreigners, in part because they knew that Chinese workers earned less. Donald next asked me whether we had any issues with sabotage. "What do you mean?" I asked. "Don't you ever worry that one of the workers might intentionally harm the product?" It was the first time that anyone had asked me this question, and it was perhaps the first time I had even considered it. Sabotage was not a concern in China, I assured him, not like it was in the United States anyway. Factory workers saw no sense in throwing a wrench into the works. Most figured, what would be the point? Chinese laborers earn more than their counterparts in the provinces, and they did not want to be fired from their jobs. Also, they believed deep down that they were working towards something larger than themselves. It was more than simple economics. The workers understood that they were playing a part in returning China to its former state of glory. Donald and I walked to the production room, and then we visited the packaging station. In the warehouse, I opened a number of cardboard boxes that contained our Johnson Carter branded product. Donald looked at some samples and noticed a logo on the back label of one of the bottles. It was a small outline of a rabbit, and around the cartoon figure were the words, "No Animal Testing." "That's good," he said. "You don't test on animals." It was a nice logo, and it was truthful. We didn't conduct any tests on animals. Then again, we didn't do any other testing either. King Chemical ran some basic checks to ensure the general stability of the formulation, but they were not the sort of rigorous tests that brought anyone any real comfort. We did not test for toxic chemicals or bacterial contamination, for example. The factory had just a small laboratory in a back room. The equipment was basic. Most high school laboratories in the United States had equipment that was more up to date. In any case, no one was checking on the factory to ensure that it produced a quality product. Donald wanted to know what kind of tests we ran, and I answered by suggesting that we could run whatever tests ShopCorp wanted. This was Johnson Carter's standard line on testing. Retailers that wanted additional tests had to pay a third-party testing laboratory. For health and beauty care products, such testing could be expensive, and so we put the ball in the retailer's court. No retailer that we worked with was ever interested in paying these costs, just as Johnson Carter also avoided the expense of additional testing. One problem with testing was that the laboratory had to be told what tests to run. Retailers did not know what they should be looking for, and to a similar extent, neither did Johnson Carter. It was not possible to ask a third-party testing laboratory such as SGS or Bureau Veritas to make sure there is no bad stuff in the product. They charged a fee based on a specific screen. If you wanted to know whether a harmful substance was present, you had to name that substance before sending the sample off to the lab. Even before China delivered a number of headline-creating product recalls, there had been concerns about quality. Importers scratched their heads when it came to determining which factories were the most reliable. China had such a short history when it came to manufacturing, and most suppliers had track records of only a few years. The new companies, in order to make themselves seem more professional, obtained industry certifications. Companies that were not directly involved in manufacturing latched onto the distinction. Airports, shops, and even restaurants could be ISO certified. But certification was no guarantee of anything. Once the certifiers went back to their offices, there was no assurance about how the factory operated. The shampoo factory was certified, but the workers still walked around with dirty hands and spit on the floors. And no certification process would prevent quality shortcuts. A factory could obtain a certification and then start playing games. It could replace quality ingredients with junk. Large multinational companies that suffered product recalls certified their own factories, and what good did that do in preventing those recalls? Bernie didn't care about certifications. He instead preferred to come to his own conclusions. He knew certificates could not solve problems at a factory. If anything, they only created them. A factory that obtained an official designation was more likely to attract customers that would compete with Johnson Carter for attention at King Chemical. There was nothing all that special about an ISO designation, and it wasn't as if the folks at ISO went from one factory to another threatening to pull a factory's certificate if things didn't look right. By now, it was clear to me that such inspections were pointless anyway. Whatever could go wrong with the manufacturing process was not going to be seen on a walkthrough. If there was something that would raise a serious alarm, a worker's peeling hands, for example, the factory owner could easily make sure that it was hidden for a few short hours while inspectors were at the plant. ISO certifies procedures, not products, and so it was no surprise that the third-party inspector later sent by ShopCorp didn't check a single bottle of our product in the warehouse. These visits were entirely cursory, and nothing that the inspector remarked on was of any real value. There was no official report generated either, and I was told that we would be given a green light if we just fixed a few things. The strangest request of all was that we cut down a small tree next to the warehouse because of the possibility of insects. Never mind that the tree was merely a sapling. The warehouse was not anywhere near where we filled the bottles with product. For a bug to get into a bottle of our shampoo in the warehouse, it would have had to find its way into a cardboard box and then unscrew a cap. While keeping cardboard boxes insect-free was a reasonable goal, what should have been a bigger concern was the soap and shampoo itself. Like importers who visited to perform their own cursory inspections before committing to a supplier, these investigators also focused on outward appearances. They did not seem to understand the extent to which the things that were not on the surface were really the most troubling. It was the production process and the actual formulation we were selling that we worried about. The factory, having passed inspection, went about making antibacterial soap. We sent samples to the laboratory in Hong Kong, and we got immediate bad news. The lab said that there was almost no antibacterial agent in the samples. A second attempt was made, with almost the same result. Bernie was upset by this, and he worked to stall ShopCorp while we tried for a third time. The factory did not know what went wrong, only that we had a failed result. To get around the problem, the factory created 10 different samples with varying levels of the active ingredient. This time, 9 of the results came back as failed, and 1 passed. The factory sent the successful result to Johnson Carter, who sent it to the retailer. When the retailer received the positive test result, it issued the purchase order. There were many problems with third-party testing. One problem was that the factory itself was commonly responsible for choosing the sample that was sent to be tested. The testing laboratories did not go to the factories to pull random samples. The factory could thus be in the habit of making a substandard product while sending over acceptable samples for testing. The testing companies that gave approval did not themselves insist that samples be randomly chosen, and neither did Johnson Carter's own customers. Testing companies were in competition with one another, and over time, we learned that one laboratory was more lenient in its testing practices than the others. These laboratories were businesses, and they knew the benefits of providing favorable laboratory results. This did not mean that they falsified data, but that they offered clues. For example, one laboratory might not provide the criteria by which a pass or fail was issued, while another one did. The more information that was provided about what caused a fail meant more scope to provide a workaround, at least for the purposes of a testing sample. The testing that we did focused primarily on external factors. For example, we tested for pH levels and viscosity, but you could create a product of mud that matched pH and viscosity. These measures alone did not make a product a quality shampoo. In time, we also came to discover that the Hong Kong office of one testing company was more helpful than its North American office. Retailers that relied on these tests did not often know about such variations within the testing sector, but many manufacturers did, and they used it to their advantage. Statistically speaking, third-party testing did work, but for reasons that few understood. A factory that knew its product would not pass was not likely to send its product to a testing laboratory in the first place, so yes, products that were tested usually had a higher chance of passing. But third-party laboratories had actually tested many of the products that were recalled in the United States, so the limitations of the system were clear. In the end, the quality problems that the factory caused were not immediately life-threatening, but they caused us to wonder. We were put in a constant state of never being quite sure of just what it was that we were receiving. And as the importer, we should have known. We should have been in a position to know everything about our product, but we didn't.